Okay, y'all might judge me, but I thought after the fact to change my Tiny Awakenings for April, which drop on the 12th of every month. If you already gave it a listen, and I promise they will be reposted. Before we get too far into this Tiny Awakening, it is very intersectional and affirming to marginalized communities and based on my own sense of identity and chosen family. You might be wondering why. Why in the world would you do this, Reagan? I promised authenticity, and sometimes authenticity comes off schedule and off script. The concept of care has been heavy on my heart these past few weeks, and it's just a much better flow in our follow-up to my conversation with Mona in episode 13, How to Therapy, where I literally mentioned that I finally feel like I'm gathering my care team together because my therapist is a crucial part of my care team. So let's get into it. I'm so proud of myself for finally having my own healthcare plan and looking for my own doctors, finding a therapist who allows me to be myself and aligns with my values and my needs, someone who cares to talk with me and hold me accountable and validate me and tell me when I'm wrong. And honestly, I'm proud of myself for cutting relationships off that no longer served me. Like, I'm so proud that this desire for care doesn't end in this, like, yeah, and this desire and this need that I'm not putting actual effort and action into cultivating around me. What's happening in me is happening around me. And I'm so proud of myself for asking for more in my relationships and moving on to find more when I need to find reciprocity, to build genuine care for my well-being. Because not having people around me to shine a light on me, to be a projection to me, to be in real relationship to me, to care for me when I need it has been like detrimental. And for example, like part of the reason why I've been thinking about this is, number one, like I feel like it made me hyper independent, not feeling like I had people around me to take care of me. And if I want to become less hyper independent and I want to be more interdependent in my community and my friendships and my relationships, I have to feel safe. I have to feel like we're both able to hold each other accountable. And when you don't feel safe, you create ways to feel safety, right? Whether it's making up false narratives that people in general aren't reliable, which is not true, or that you can't be vulnerable, or, you know, whatever good thing that you want, you don't deserve it, you know? Searching for care where there is none is so hard. None to be given in a healthy way, maybe even, is so harmful. It can make you bitter. Asking for care from people who, you know, or were supposed to be there for you and didn't, is tiring, and it makes you bitter and it makes you feel alone. It's your caregiver's job to show up for you. It's your doctor's job to show up for you. It's your teacher's job to challenge you and to not hold you back, to create a safe environment for you to learn and to grow. Those people owed you that. The friends and family that you pour your heart into, they should pour those same, you know, encouraging, like, words of affirmation, validation, accountability, like, pour their hearts back out into you. And you deserve to be taken care of, and not just to not just in a shallow way or a surface level way. I deserve real care. Like, just coming to the conclusion that, like, you deserve real care, Reagan, like, and that asking for it isn't harmful, and asking for it is the first step in acquiring it. I am asking for that, and I'm not taking no for an answer, and my care team is everything, and I can't expect a hater to be a helper. And I don't care if it's an auntie, a supervisor, a friend, like, the answer is no. I'm not begging. I am asking. I am opening my mouth. I am opening my heart. I am opening my mind to new possibilities for collaboration. And it's so heavy on my heart right now. My care team is because like building a team of people to check in with has been big, like in my, how I'm navigating like some of like my mental health issues, like my anxiety, like explaining to people like, hey, like I really do need you to like schedule something with me when I'm in your city. And here's, you know, what we're doing, where we're going. Cause I will, my anxiety will tell me that like, it's not happening if it's, we haven't made it a real thing on a calendar or a piece of paper. And my depression, I will literally get to your city and just not hit you up. Like I will get down and just be like, oh, like they didn't care. I asked them, you know, what we were doing when we were doing it and they didn't care to respond. Like, and then it'll turn into that like over negative thoughts, like those overly kind of bad, weird, like, okay, well, they didn't care to see me. They won't see me. And you know, just being honest with people, like, you know, creating measures to hold me accountable. Like I told my doctor, I left and, or I was about to leave. And she was like, well, when are you going to come back? Cause you need treatment. I got a diagnosis, which we can definitely get into. And, she was like, well, you want to come back in a week, 2 weeks? Cause you know, I told her I wanted to do my own research. And I was like, actually, let's do this. I was like, let's schedule something. You tell me, but we'll schedule something. And even if I don't like what you're, the plan that you've proposed to me, at least it'll give me a deadline to do the research and it'll put me back in this doctor's office. And like, we're going to do something. And she was like, yes, we're going to do something. Even if you don't like what I proposed, we are going to, you're going to get treatment. We're going to go through with this. I'm going to take care of you. And that's huge. Especially like after 10 years, I've had the same symptoms for 10 years and I've gone to a different doctor every year for checkups, telling them the exact same thing. Sometimes going in before the year mark to tell them about this exact same symptoms. And finally, after 10 years, I got a diagnosis because somebody cared enough to do blood work and one exam. It took one exam and blood work to figure out what was going on with me. And after 10 years of suffering, untreated for a condition that literally has probably contributed to my depression and some other serious health issues, and literally could have led to cancer, after over and over and over again, like just being told to rest and drink water and lose weight is like baffling to me. But I mean, as a Black woman, that really sung so loud, like in my heart and my spirit, to talk about this. Because you don't, you know, naturally, when we say care team, we often think of like a team of doctors that are literally taking care of you. And I do mean it in that way, in some ways, because literally being neglected by my doctors could have led to me having cancer, could have led to, you know, me losing my life. And it was not for any lack of me advocating for myself, because I think a lot of times people are like, you should advocate for yourself, you should speak up for yourself. But it doesn't matter what you ask for if the people around you, they're not equipped to help you. They don't have the emotional intelligence to help you. They don't have the resources to help you, don't have the care, really dead ass, like the care to help you. Or they don't have the ability to look past their own prejudice to help you, because I really think that that's what was happening with my doctors for the last 10 years of my life, hearing me tell them the same symptoms. Finally, I went to a Black woman and I told her my symptoms and told her that like, I really want to get to the bottom of this. And she helped me immediately. She didn't go down the same track that I've heard a dozen other doctors just tell me to drink water, lose weight, and exercise. She actually cared to investigate and see what was going on. And now I know. And now we are exploring a treatment plan. And that happens pretty often, unfortunately, with doctors. And it is something worth talking about. And I really could tell so many different stories about Black people who have gone to the hospital and not received the care that they deserved, or, you know, it's not until their family showed up that they were really taken care of. And for a long time, I did blame myself for not advocating for myself better. But I shouldn't have to. I shouldn't have to rattle off statistics to you. I shouldn't have to point out your bias or beg for attention or care from people that it's literally their job and I'm literally paying you. But we shouldn't have to do that in our personal lives either. My care team doesn't end with physicians. My care team also includes people who financially know more than I do, because I really do believe in like having financial health. And that's just not something that I grew up learning about. You know, I took like one little economics class way back when in high school. But nobody really teaches you how to do normal adult things, like the importance of taking care of your taxes, what it means to you, like, to save, to have an emergency fund, to have a brokerage account, to have a Roth IRA, what it could mean to have a 401k and have a retirement plan. Like, I'm sitting in my 20s thinking like, oh, like that doesn't matter, but it does matter. And the difference of 5 years to 10 years of me saving and having compound interest could mean hundreds of thousands of dollars that either I can have when I retire, or I can spend on fast food and whatever else the heck I'm doing or want to do. So yeah, like just having people around for that, having people care enough to hold me accountable, to tell me like, hey, like I see this is kind of like not going the way that you want it to, or even just spaces, like I said, like just feeling safe enough to have those pretty vulnerable conversations with friends and with family, and with people that know what they're talking about. I'm gonna say it again, like people who know what they're talking about. You can't go to just anybody. You can't, or you shouldn't. You can. You shouldn't just go to anybody for advice in parts of their lives that have never gone well or aren't going well. And I'll keep it at that. So medical care team, financial care or financial health, my mental health, having a therapist who holds similar values, who sees me, who I have been very upfront and clear about like what it means for me to even have like take home assignments and to hold me accountable for the things that we agree on. Can we agree on something before we leave our meetings that we can talk about and follow up on next week? Like, having friends, my goodness, having friends that make me feel more than accepted. Cause I think for a lot of queer people, it's like, I accept you, I'm gonna love you no matter what. But like, there's undertones of like, I don't like who you are. That's not like, that's not it. But I can tolerate you and I can still love you anyway. I don't want to be loved anyway. I want to be celebrated. And there are tons of people that I've found along the way who really do celebrate my identity and find it beautiful. Like, the reasons why I really truly admire like trans people is because, you know, we learn how to perform our genders. We are taught how to exist in this life as a male or a female. But to be trans and to be non-binary takes on its like own embodiment of authenticity and courage that's like unequivocal. Like, you wake up every morning and decide to be you no matter the threat of violence, no matter what it means for your familial relationships. You decide to choose you every single day in your most authentic self. And I'm just over here taking notes. Like, I am taking notes. And that isn't coming from a place of tolerance or acceptance. Like, I celebrate your identity because it gives me permission to be more myself and less of what society told me to be. And that's what I want. That's what I want in the other people around me. And that doesn't just mean that, you know, I feel safe in queer spaces or I feel safe in Black spaces because we're all Black or we're all queer. Not at all. You know, we all, and I've talked about this before, like, I think a lot of us struggle with like internalized racism, ideas about our community that are just false and taught to us, ideas of the queer community that are taught to us and not aren't real things, or if they're real things, they're very subset things. They're blowing up these real lived experiences of a few to represent the many, and that's not fair. And I don't have to hold that. So having people around me that celebrate me, that push me, that see my potential and do more than just see my potential, but highlight my potential, hold me accountable for reaching my potential in a lot of different ways. Like, I'm just really hoping will take me to the next level, because those are things that are not only I'm wanting other people around me to do that for me, but I'm really taking care of myself by requiring that of my community. And, you know, I don't think that everyone, like, that doesn't have to look the same for everyone. It can't. I'm not putting all of that pressure on one person. I'm putting that pressure on an entire community to help me help myself, because I'm very much in a place where I'm desperately trying to help myself. Yeah. So if I can get a little bit of, you know, a little bit of encouragement and love from, you know, my mom while I'm getting some encouragement and really, like, you know, diagnosis and care plans from my doctor, and I'm getting, you know, journaling assignments from my therapist, and I'm being encouraged to leave my house from my brother. And, you know, just like it all compounds on top of itself. And I really think this is like the next, this is going to take me to the next level. Someone explained it to me in a professional setting, what it's meant for him to, in a personal setting, what it's meant for him to have a quote unquote a board of directors. And his board of directors looks similar to, I think, what I'm trying to cultivate for myself. But it's a group of people who he trusts to advise him. He doesn't just keep people around, friends around that he doesn't trust, that don't have the integrity or the character that he wants to have and cultivate for himself. You know, having a partner that he can go to, having aunts and uncles and friends, and just building that team. Because nothing stands on its own. No organization stands on its own, and no individual stands on their own. And I think sometimes, like, if you have felt abandoned, we truly lose sight of all the people that really helped us become who we are along the way, because we fixate on those negative narratives. And I'm definitely willing to talk more about what my community of care has looked like and what it could mean.